The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and he went about doing good. Amen. I got a lot better when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
Holy Spirit will make you start healing all that are oppressed by the devil.
Amen.
One of the big deals about the Holy Spirit coming upon us is that he will help us heal all that are oppressed by the devil.
Amen.
We have enough Holy Spirit in here to heal all that are oppressed by sickness, disease, torment, or devil. We got plenty, plenty, plenty of Holy Spirit in here.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Just a few people got that. Come on, you got to live full of the Holy Spirit so that you always feel that we got plenty. We can fix troubles. We can fix problems. So guess what we're talking about today? Healing, deliverance, salvation of the body and mind and the spirit to help people get totally set free and feel it and enjoy that. It's a covenant blessing, might as well enjoy it. It's a promise in the inheritance, might as well enjoy it. Rather than just look at the will on the wall, why don't you take the will to the courthouse and get the stuff? We get excited about the will. When people read the scripture about the will, it's like, wow, praise the Lord, we got stuff. But it takes faith to go down the courthouse and get it. It takes faith to reach up to heaven and by the hand of faith pull down the blessing. It's not hard though, so I want to make it easier for you today. There's no reason to make this difficult. There's no reason that we have to make spiritual things hard or miracles hard. We just have to believe. The hard part is not being a doubter. How many doubters do we have in here? Nobody raised their hand. Praise the Lord. I didn't see any peripheral hands raised, not even in the farthest, backest corner of the church, because we don't have doubters in here. We have believers in here. And so you just have to know that you are a believer.
Amen.
You don't have to drum up believing. You are a believer. Now act like it. We are believers. We just receive stuff. It's easy. And so if you'll open your Bible with me somewhere, let me just build a little bit here. Romans chapter 8, I felt like I ought to show you this with your own eyes. Romans chapter 8. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is something you need to get in you concerning the Holy Spirit, because he does stuff in us if you believe it. People don't need to look up to heaven. We don't need to look up to heaven and wonder where God is and wonder when God's going to answer. God, when are you going to help me and heal me? Look, he's not up there. The one that's going to heal you is not up there. He's in here.
Amen.
So just look down. Look down in your spirit. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I know God's on the throne in heaven. But really, heaven is not necessarily way up somewhere. It's just beyond the veil. You have to understand that God is not way out beyond, you know, which cloud is he hiding behind? He's not up there like that. You know where he is? He's on the throne. But Jesus said, you're seated with him on the throne. He's like right next to you. You don't have to be looking out in the far beyond sky to find God or get a miracle. He's right there next to you on the throne. God's on the throne. Jesus on the throne. It said you're seated with him in heavenly places. You're on the throne. Just look over at God and say, thanks, God.
Amen.
You need to get a better picture of who we are and what we have and how close we really live with God. He abides in us, lives in us by his Spirit.
Yes, he does.
So let's read this here. Verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does he?
Yes.
The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
It was the Holy Spirit that actually performed the miracle.
Right, right.
The Holy Spirit's the one that put Jesus' body back together.
Amen.
If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen.
Does your body need any life in it?
Yes.
Sure. Does your body need any health in it?
Yes.
He's in there.
Amen.
It says, if he lives in you, he will also quicken.
Yes, right.
King James says quicken. That means make alive.
Amen.
He will also make alive your flesh.
Glory.
Does your flesh need any making alive?
Yes.
Does your flesh need any health to it?
Yes.
Is the Spirit in you?
Amen.
If he's in you, he'll make it alive.
That's right. That's right.
Activate that. Trigger that. Say yes to it.
Yes.
Say yes, that solves it.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Okay, now this is what faith does. Faith just revs itself up in 5 minutes. We're already revved. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can do that, then he that raised up Christ from the dead living in you can do that.
Amen.
He's in there.
Amen.
Take it.
Amen.
Take it.
Take it.
Amen. Say yes to that.
Yes.
Say, yep, 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 makes me alive. Yep, 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 yep. You hear that elbow? Makes you alive. Woo!
Makes me alive.
Now go throw a baseball.
Glory.
Simple, simple saying yes and then believing it and then acting on it.
Amen.
Like it's totally true.
Glory.
You've heard my story. I was sick one night about 1:30 in the morning, felt like a fever and a big thing was coming on me. I thought, oh man, I wish I could just sleep this off. And I thought, oh no, if I do that, I'll be sick in the morning. So I got up, got my Bible, sat in the chair, and I began to read the Bible. I read Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, just reading the Bible. Why? Because the Word brings health to my flesh.
Amen.
If I don't forget His Word, it'll bring health to my flesh. So I just started reading the Bible, and all of a sudden I came across Romans 8:11, and that, when I read verse 11, it went into my spirit. I could feel it go down, down, down into my spirit, and I got it. And I still felt sick as a dog, but I said, "Woo! I got it. He makes me alive." Closed my Bible, went to bed, woke up well. That's simply saying yes. That's simply going after God until you know He said yes. And it didn't take me but just 8 chapters. 8 chapters of reading. Doesn't take long to read 8 chapters. Doesn't take long to read 8 chapters. You know, every Christian ought to be able to read 8 chapters sometimes.
Amen.
But it's so boring. Okay. 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 Wasn't boring when I needed to be healed. When you start getting your life from God's Word, it won't be boring at all. And if you can't read a few chapters at a time, then you're not feeding right. It's like you forgot how to pick up your fork. So just remember, the Holy Spirit's in you and He's making alive your flesh. And He'll do it right now, and it doesn't have to take forever. It's not about praying and then waiting until one day God comes up with some medical solution to heal your condition. No, it's about receiving the life of God from the Holy Spirit, the one who did the big miracle. The one who raised the Son of God from the dead dwells in you. That solves it. That solves it. I said that solves it. I said that solves it. He's in you. He heals you. He's in you. He heals you. He's in you. He delivers you. He heals you. He sets you free. He makes your flesh alive. He can make every cell in you alive. If He can raise every dead cell of Jesus or Lazarus or Dorcas, if He makes every cell come to life again, He can fix your few cells.
Amen.
You have to know it. You have to believe it. You have to think it. And then somebody wants to try to win some argument. They say, well, everybody has to die sometime. Well, why don't you do it like Jesus? He gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
He decided it was time.
Right.
You don't have to go being killed by some sickness, disease, or devil. No, you can decide. You just decide. When your race is done, you can go home. That's a whole new way to think. But the Spirit of God is in us, and He heals us. He heals me. Say it out loud. He heals me.
He heals me.
The Spirit heals me.
The Spirit heals me.
He's the power.
He's the power.
He's got all the juice.
He's got all the juice.
And He heals me. My flesh is alive.
Flesh
it's coming alive right now.
Alive.
Devils are leaving. Spirits of infirmity are leaving.
Yes. You're leaving.
Infection is leaving.
Leaving.
Virus left.
Virus left.
It's all gone now.
All gone.
The Holy Spirit made it all go.
The Holy Spirit made it all
He makes me alive and made it all go. Hallelujah. That's how it works.
Hallelujah.
That's how it works. He makes it all go from me.
Go.
Say it. He makes it all go from me.
Go.
I must be all well now. All well right now. I must be all well right now. He said he would, so he did, so it's done. He said he would, so he did. Not, he said he would, so one day he will. He said he would, so he did. Jesus said, anything you ask or require in my name, I'll do it. So he did it. Have you asked in his name? He did it. Faith steps over and says, okay, done. When are you going to go ahead and step over and say it's done?
Done.
Whatever you need.
Done.
Little,
done.
Big, small, large.
Done.
Confusing, simple, whatever. Just decide it's done.
Done.
The Spirit in me, He did it. Makes me alive. Quickens my flesh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. You have to quit looking with your physical eyeball.
Yeah.
If you believe that you're healed because your body is well, that is not faith.
No, it's not.
I said, if you believe that you're healed because your body says so, that is not faith.
Right.
Your body does not decide.
That's right.
Your spirit has to decide if you're healed. If you're waiting to feel a difference before you declare you're healed, then you're not in faith. You're just like everybody else. You're waiting for a doctor to tell you something. You're healed because the Word says you are. Praise the Lord. If you pause to see if prayer worked, you're not in faith. You failed. If you look around to see if prayer worked, you're not there. Brother Frank, they don't like this too much. This part is not what we like. This part's not what we like.
We're going to get it.
You're going to have to know how to do what Jesus did. He cursed the fig tree and then he walked off. He cursed it. He believed. He knew. He walked off. He didn't stand there saying, well, I told you, when are you going to dry up? It did. You just didn't see the physical sign. You got to believe yourself. You got to believe your word. You got to believe the word you say. Because God said He watches what you say. You got to believe what you say goes. Jesus did. Hallelujah. Is what you see greater than what God says?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Is what you see greater than what God says?
No.
Then why do we act like that?
No.
Why do we get so pushed around by what we see? Because our soul thinks that's greater. God's invisible. The thing I see is bigger. You can't be like that. I heard a story at the beginning of the year of this lady who went to the doctor and they did a sonogram. She had a lump and they were doing the sonogram on her. Isn't that the thing that you can actually look over at the thing and see while they do it? And as they did the thing on the screen, the doctor was showing it to her. And she sees the lump on the screen. And in herself, she said, if only I hadn't seen it. Because you know what that does to you. As soon as you see something, man, that thing just all of a sudden is Mount Everest. You can't see around it. All of a sudden, it just sucks the life right out of you. She said, only if I hadn't seen it. And sometimes you probably don't want to see it. Sometimes you probably want to avoid having to see it because you know how you are. And that's why we say break the mirror sometimes. Stop looking at the thing. And then God corrected her. She said that in herself, God corrected her. He said, are you saying that what you see is greater than what I say? Instantly she repented and said, no, I believe you.
Amen.
And instantly light showed up on the sonogram and moved over to that lump, brightened up, and then disappeared and the lump was gone. Okay. Now that is how instant and immediate things can be for us. It's not hard. It's simply you making little believing adjustments. Little adjustment in the way you're thinking. A little adjustment in the way you're acting. A little adjustment in your own consciousness solves the problem. And then I'm going to talk about how you will need a relationship with God for a lot of these things. She had to hear from God. She had to let Him rebuke her. Have you ever let the Lord rebuke you?
Yes.
If you'll let Him, what He's doing is He's leading you into faith. He's leading you into believing. He's not being mean. He's not being, you know, hard to get. He's leading you into a place where you can truly see.
That's right.
Why didn't the light just show up in the first place? Because she had a little hindrance. She had a little thing she had to get over. She probably had a dread and a fear of seeing something. I'm not saying that's exact, but most likely something like that. Jesus needed her to get over that before He could do something.
Amen.
She had to decide, I'm going to believe it anyway. She had to get a little grit in her mouth. She had to get a little backbone. She had to stand up about this thing. I'm standing up with God's Word. That's what He needs to see from us.
Amen.
This is not about just praying and just everybody pray for me, and then I sure hope it turns out okay. That's not faith. That won't. First of all, that won't get a miracle. Second of all, it won't please God. That doesn't please God. What pleases Him is when we say yes. Yes, thanks God. You're my healer. Thank you. Solves it right there. Here's another thing that'll make it simple for you. Luke chapter 8. You know, we don't have to go through a whole bunch of rigmarole to get people saved. We simply tell them a truth, ask if they believed it, and then we have them confess something with their own lips, and then we say, you're saved. Salvation's real easy, isn't it?
Yes.
We don't have to talk about, okay, now, have you been good for the past 6 weeks? And have you been a perfect person all this time? And no, we just say, here, you believe Jesus died for your salvation. Do you believe that? If so, then just say this out loud. Jesus saved me. Thank you. Amen. Boom, you're saved. Okay, next. It's not hard, is it? Luke 8:48, but I want you to see this here. Luke 8:43, we'll start there. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of His garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she touched him and how she was healed immediately. Notice that little phrase, healed immediately. Healed immediately. Healed immediately. Healed immediately. You'll see that most of the miracles with Jesus happened immediately. Matter of fact, 19 out of the 25 miracles happened immediately. 19 out of 25 happened immediately. That's a pretty good percentage. When you're trusting God, you ought to have about, what is that, about a 75%? You ought to have about 75% probability it's going to happen immediately. Like I'm about to pray here, God, there's about a 75% chance it's going to happen immediately. I'm about to believe you, God, and confess the scripture. It's about a 75% chance it's going to happen just right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And the other 25%, it might happen within an hour.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to have to turn up your faith. You're going to have to start expecting immediately's. And if you can't expect immediately's, you won't get them immediately. You might not ever get them. If you can't expect them immediately, you might have a long, long, long time to wait, because it'll come as you expect. As thou hast believed, let it be done to you. So when you pray, were you believing that it was about to happen? Or were you just thinking, you know, I just need to pray, I just want a good prayer on this? If you're just expecting a good prayer, like today when we pray for people, if you're expecting a good prayer, that's what you're going to get. We'll give you a good prayer. But if you're expecting that the Lord Jesus is going to say yes immediately, then you might get something immediately. Immediately, her flow of blood stopped. Oh, I'm sorry. And how she was healed immediately, verse 47. Verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Is that the way your Bible reads?
Yes.
King James says, faith has healed thee. What does it say in King James?
Made thee whole.
Yeah, made thee whole. Okay, so some people have taken that and said, okay, well this, you know, if you want to be healed, that's one thing. But if you want to be made whole, that's another thing. Look, there's no reason to inflate the scripture. It's inflated enough. There's no reason to try to turn something into a new message. Healed, made whole, made well, it's all the same. The word that's translated healed, made whole, made well, is the same Greek word. It's the word sozo, S-O-Z-O, which is from that's the verb, from the noun soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Both those mean healed, saved, delivered, prosperous. It means to be fixed. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has what? Made you well. Your faith healed. Your faith fixed you. He didn't say God's power fixed her, even though God's power did. He said her faith did. This is where your faith, which comes by hearing the word of God, your faith pulls the trigger.
Amen.
You know the Holy Spirit's in you.
Yeah.
Well, if he was, maybe he's not even in me because I'm not healed. No, he's in you.
Yes, he is.
But you're going to have to pull the trigger and believe that he'll heal you. Believe that he is healing you. Believe that there's power in there that can zap the problem right now. Your faith will make you well. Your faith will trigger it today. Your belief and your exact expectancy today will make it happen today.
Amen.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? All she had to do was a couple things. She had to hear about him, come touch him, believe. She knew in herself, if I can just touch him, I'll get it. Now go back to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. This is when Mary Magdalene washed Jesus' feet with her hair. And then Jesus said this. People got mad at him for letting that happen. Verse 46, he said, you didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I said to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Does your Bible read it that way?
Yes.
Your faith has saved you. You know what that word in the Greek is? Same exact word as the other passage. Your faith has sozoed you. Same thing as what it said over here when it said healed. Your faith has sozoed you. Go in peace. Sozo is the Greek word for healing and salvation. So the word for salvation and healing, same exact word in the New Testament. So when Acts says that there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, that's sozo. There's no other name under heaven whereby which we must be sozoed. What does that mean? Saved, yeah, saved, and healed, and delivered. Same word. So when God sent salvation through Jesus Christ, it wasn't just go to heaven. It was the saving of the spirit, saving of the body, saving of the mind.
Amen.
It was total salvation. It was total healing. So you need to realize that the gospel includes the saving of the soul and the healing of the body, and it always has. Every single time Jesus said, go preach the gospel, he said, oh, and heal the sick. Matter of fact, you look right here, Luke chapter 9. Verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Right. Let me read it again. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to sing songs. You'd think that that's all he said. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We're not against singing songs. He said we ought to be singing songs, spiritual songs and hymns, making melody. Sure, sure. But in the commission aspect, in this ministry to the people aspect, it's preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 11. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and sang songs to them. Spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. I used to preach this a lot in churches, trying to help us pull in healing into the meetings. Let's make sure we get healing back into our gospel. Why? Because it's always been part of the gospel. Healing is part of the gospel. It's get saved and get healed. And you can get it both together. Towards the end of last year, I'd taken that Uber ride, and the fella, within the first few minutes, we were talking, and he found out I was a pastor. I found out he was an Indian Sikh, whatever. And he didn't know anything about Jesus except Jesus. I said, you know anything about Jesus? He said, well, he's a God, right? I said, well, let me talk to you about that. And so I began to explain the plan of redemption and all. And within about 5 to 10 minutes, I'm explaining Jesus, and he's asking a couple of questions. Well, now, what about this? And what does that mean? And then all of a sudden he stops me and he says, whoa, stop. How do I receive him?
That's right. Glory.
How do I receive him? That's what he said. I'm like, ooh. That was a big bite. And I led him to receive Jesus, and then I stopped, and I was about to ask him if did he feel any different? You know, I do that sometimes. But I didn't have to, because he said, whoa, stop, whoa, something is happening.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
He said, my back pain is gone. My back pain, my back's been, what has happened? What has happened to me? Now, I didn't talk to him about Jesus healing him. Right. Jesus just healed him.
Amen.
Because healing goes with salvation. It ought to be that easy. So I took the moment to say, hey, Jesus just saved your soul and healed your body. He is now your Savior and your healer for the rest of your life.
Glory!
Glory!
We need to treat it that way. We need to remember it that way. I'm saved. Glory to God. I'm healed. He's both to me forever and ever. I don't have to struggle and strive to be healed or stay healed. I am healed. Anything that shows up that's contrary, no, out. Any morning that I don't feel saved, shut up. Praise God, I am saved. And then you go through the day feeling saved. Do that with healing. You feel some weird thing that's contrary to that. I am healed. I'm already.
That's right.
He's in me already, quickening my flesh. I'm not taking viruses. And simple. Goes together. Jesus was thinking this on the cross. Boy, I'm taking care of their spirit and their body. They're going to need it. And all we got to do is keep that fresh in us. All we got to know is the Holy Spirit's in there making us alive, triggering that all the time within us. Thank God. The Spirit's in me healing me. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to die. No. Thank God I'm well today. Do it with your kids. Train them. Yeah, we're sozoed. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.